Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us today. As always, got a great show planned for you in the most scintillating hour of finance radio. Still loving that. Anyway, we're flying solo right now because our resident millennial is not at the board. It's like leaving home without your jacket. You know, I feel a little naked here without the resident millennial ensconced at the top of, you know, at the head of the head of the ship here leading the way. But anyway, great show planned for you. A lot of interesting stuff as always. I've been saying it for about like a year now. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Wow, so much to discuss. Anyway, start with a market update. Then we have several different segments. We're going to talk about the continued unicorn bloodbath. And for those of you that don't know, for the kids out there listening, because I know that there are a bunch of kids aged 7 to probably 18 that don't miss an episode. Okay, so I'm making that up. Not really our target audience. I can't even get my own kids to listen to it. Anyway, it's funny because we actually just started running some ads on KCMS, the FM station. And my kids did not really think I was on the radio until they heard me on KCMS because for some reason, talk radio, AM doesn't matter to them, right? But if you're on a music station, well, then by all means, it counts. So anyway, great show planned. And I'm still trying to gather myself. Day after Halloween, especially if you got young kids, you know, I didn't eat all the candy. I didn't, you know, run around from house to house. I mean, I walked, right? I trailed behind the kids. But I wasn't running. And then yet you wake up, you just feel exhausted. I don't know what that age maybe. It's creeping up on me. Comes with the gray hair. But anyway, let's start off right at the top. People, I've been thinking it would go this way. It still amazes me. But this market is in breakout zone here. We have broken out. This is a breakout officially now. A statistically valid breakout. Now, we got to see it. We got to see it get you know, endorsed, if you will. You got to see it get backed up through the next week. But we're in breakout territory in this market, as much as it doesn't make any sense. This whole move that we have seen in markets this entire year is just multiple expansion. Well, and what I mean by that is companies are not making more money. They made less this year. Earnings are down. I continue to be amazed. Guys, we talk fake news all the time. This is something we've talked about on the show before, but I really want to enforce this. Okay, fake news is spread across the entire gambit of media, all right? It is not exclusive to politics. I look at CNBC, I look at all the financial sites multiple times a day. I look at CNBC and they keep saying strong earnings. Guys, I don't know what they're talking about. Earnings across the board are down. Amazon gave disappointing results. Stock didn't care. Apple, revenue down, earnings down, stock doesn't care. You go down the list. You cannot read the headlines. We are not headline investors, okay? We got to keep our eye on the ball. That being said, when a market breaks out, you can't fight it. It's like the Fed. Don't sit there and fight it. Don't get stubborn about it. If you're traders and you've been short this market, don't be, okay? And if you are, right? You're investing idealistically. You do not get in the way of an all-time high, okay? You ride the wave. It's not investment advice, not a recommendation, just general knowledge. When you've been stuck in a trading zone for 2 years and you break out to the upside, like we are right now, you get out of the way, okay? You don't try to short this market. You don't try to hit, you ride it. Now, the crazy thing, like I was saying earlier, is we've seen this at times, you know, for, you know, 3, 4, 5, even 6 months during this whole cycle where the economic data went one way and asset prices went the other. This is unlike anything I've seen in my career, this run this year, because it is literally a mirror image, the reverse of what is happening economically. And it's really crazy. And it lends credence. Now, I'm not saying, again, you know, this is, we look at things in a snapshot. This is another big mistake. We had a whole episode last week about the biggest mistakes investors make or investor misconceptions. Okay. That relates, you know, we could include this right in that conversation. It's a perfect addendum to that whole episode, which is, investors look at snapshots. Oh, good job growth. Okay, good. Economy's still on good footing. Good earnings. Okay. Then you look at the underneath, right? You've got to do the work. You've got to look at things. And again, I've been saying this the whole time. We are not Chicken Littles. The sky is not falling. I'm not telling you to get out of stocks. You're never going to hear me say that. Okay, because we can't time markets. Nobody can. We got to play the game in front of us. It's about risk management. It's not about timing markets. Right? But it still is incredible to me that as the underlying has deteriorated, the market has accelerated at the same pace. And what I was saying was it lends credence to something we've been talking about for a long time. It doesn't mean that this is officially taking place, but it very much looks like the beginning of it. And it's something that we talked to Brent Johnson, founder of Santiago Capital. Had him on multiple times. He's on Macro Voices all the time. Brent's a great guy. But something that he and I were talking about as much as 2 years ago, as crazy as we think this market is, as overvalued as this market is. I had a side note. I had a guy, nice guy, listener to the show. Hopefully he's listening to this episode. Not going to say his name, but he contacted me and said, you know, Zach, I really enjoy your show. Learn a lot from it. I don't always agree with you. But you know, I really enjoy the show. And, look, that's fine. I don't need everybody to agree with me, but the one thing I thought was funny about that comment was as it relates to markets, what we're talking about, we actually don't share a lot of opinion on this show. And if you think we do, I would encourage you to listen just a little bit closer because we're not talking a lot about opinion. Now, if you get me going on WeWork or Tesla, or, you know, even Boeing, even though we've called that one correctly, but even Boeing, those are opinions, but we don't give those a lot. Again, if you listen to the show, what we're talking about is facts. When I tell you that the market is historically overvalued, that is not subjective. Okay. Now you can find guys that say it isn't, right? But if you listen to what they say, then they immediately start talking about price to earnings. And you guys have heard me say it a million times. Yeah, price to earnings is 40, 45% above, closing in on 50 now. Actually it is 50, 40. Yeah, we're 50% above the normal long-term average for price to earnings. Okay? Now, that seems a little scary, right? Say that out loud, but you got higher interest rates. But as I've said so many times before, guys, that's the one valuation metric that isn't at nosebleed levels. And I'm talking historic. So when I say this is multiple expansion, what I mean is that when we see markets go up or have a really good year, typically, as it did in 2013, typically that is reflecting strength or progress in an underlying economy. That has not been the case this year. Now, is it possible that the market is essentially forecasting or pricing in better growth next year? Right? Is next year going to be better? Yeah, look, it's possible. but it sure doesn't look that way. So then people go, well, Zach, why is the stock going up? And guys, I got to remind, I can't tell you this enough. Stocks, when we look at stock valuations, okay, that is the perception of value, right? If we take Apple as example, great company. There's nothing bad you can say about Apple. And for that matter, I hate bringing it up because it's actually, you know, it's one of the few popular stocks that is actually priced at a discount to the market. But if you look at Apple and their position and their revenue and their profit, Apple's not as valuable as a company as they were last year. Okay, just again, not subjective. It's factual. They make less profit. They do less revenue. What has the stock done? Bounced 25%. Okay, I can't say that enough. The thing you have to remember, stock prices are subjective. Stock prices are a perception of value. They are not value. And if you want an example, there's a company out there. Well, there's a bunch of these stories. They're all over the place. But Pinterest is one of them. Pinterest had a really bad week. Did Pinterest, and I think the stock's down about 30% this week. It had one day drop of like 20 or 22 or something like that. Did the value of Pinterest change by 25, 30% this week? No, right? The perception did. The perceived value changed. And this is where people get caught, right? We get confirmation. We see stocks going up and we go, things must be good. We make inferences. We make judgments based on the price is telling us that everything's okay. Everything must be okay. We got to get back into the market. Okay. It's a big mistake because what I think is happening here, and I could be wrong, but what I think we're about to see, I actually think based on what I'm seeing right now, I actually think the next, you know, I don't know, 8 to 12 months. And again, this is not a recommendation. I'm not telling you to change your portfolio mix. I'm not saying any of that, right? If you want that information, guys, give us a call or give us a call, 866-779-RISK, or come to the free seminar class that we're doing at the Bellevue Hyatt on November 16th at, I believe, 10 a.m. Don't quote me. And as I said last week, guys, the reason we picked that date, we got no Husky game, we got no Seahawk game. That may not matter to you. It does to me. It's not that we wouldn't do a class if they were there, but it just worked out well. Attend the free class. We're going to limit it to 1 hour, and at the end of the hour, we have live Q&A. We're also going to talk economics, too, just because I can't stand not to. We'll take live questions. You can throw anything you want at me, not censor it. We will do it on the fly. If we don't know, we'll sit there and kind of have that, or not we, I'll sit there and have that quizzical look on my face and tell you, I don't really know. But anyway, it's going to be a great time. We're going to keep it short, but we're just going to walk you through the entire planning process, how we do everything. We're going to discuss, and we're going to show. This is not a sales pitch kind of thing, right? If you like what you hear at the seminar, obviously we're not going to stop you from being a client, but we're also not going to frisk you and fingerprint you and make you meet with us or anything like that. It's just come get the info. If you like it, just like the show. If you like it, great. Give us a call. We'll meet with you. We'll walk you through the process. If not, you will leave more informed. Okay. And I'm talking even on the Social Security planning side of it. Everybody goes, oh, Social Security. Listen, again, you do this business, and I forget that there is a lot of different ways you can take Social Security. There's a lot of different ways to utilize it. If you've got two people that are 66 that are retiring at the same time, one might take their Social Security right away. We might advise somebody to let it run till they're 70. We might advise them to take it at 68. It really all depends. And it really is a blank spot with most investors. Most people that we talk to have no clue. And guys, even advisors, met with a guy this week. Great guy. He talked to his advisor about Social Security, and the guy goes, well, you know, you could take it whenever you want. What? Whoa. It's a little more complex than that. And it really depends, and it should depend. That's a nuanced question. That's a question, and that's something that differentiates us. This is not a cookie-cutter approach, and guys, everybody says that, but everywhere you go, it is a cookie-cutter approach, the one variability being your age. That determines the portfolio mix. Does that make sense to you? It shouldn't, because everybody's different. We've got clients that take Social Security at 62. Now, don't sit there immediately when I say that and go, oh, that's horrible because I read this book. If the book lays out standard laws, all right, if you're listening to somebody who goes, this is what you should do with Social Security, take that book and throw it away. Take that newsletter and throw it away. There is no right answer. It depends on what your position is. And we're going to break all that down. We're literally going to give you, we've got an ad running. Dory and I did an ad together, and we say that, you know, hey, we're going to go through the whole planning process that we did with you and Suzanne. And that is real. That's what we did. We're going to run you guys through the whole planning process, hit all the spots that we did with Dory and his wife at his house multiple times out to dinner. I got to give Dory a ribbing just because he's got the title of being the law. So from the time we first sat down and discussed financial matters till the time Dory became a client of ours, it was the longest period of time ever that it's taken us to meet a client and they became a client. He worked through our stuff. We went round and round and round. He wanted to pinpoint every single part. But anyway, we're going to take that process, condense that down to this 1 hour class. Give you some material and notes so you can remember the stuff that we went over. And then we're going to do a wide open Q&A at the end and get you in and out. And I think it's going to be really valuable. I get excited about, well, because I'm a, like my wife says, I'm a finance nerd. But I get excited about sharing this info with you guys because, you know, like I said, people say it, but I love helping people. We met a guy, cool story. And Darren's not on the board with me. We've got my man, Jerry. He's riding shotgun here. But, Jerry, we met a guy that, great guy, nice guy, works at Boeing. Spent his whole career at Boeing. And he heard our radio show last March we did that aired a week before the unfortunate second crash that Boeing had. And he had 100% of his stock in Boeing. His entire portfolio was in Boeing, right? And he'd made a killing. Right in the run up of the stock, but we sat down. And he thanked me, and I go, what for? And he goes, you saved me a lot of money. And I'm like, sitting there going, what do you mean? So he heard the show and dialed back his Boeing exposure by 75%. And I said to him, I go, listen, I'm glad it worked for you, but I said, I don't want you making decisions based on short term stuff like that. But I said, oh, by the way, 25% is still a lot. This is the thing is that when we say we don't want that overexposure, we're warning you about a specific stock. It's not, we don't know. We don't have a crystal ball, right? But it's just, again, it's if you have more than 10% in a single stock and you're within 5 years of retirement, that in and of itself is a problem, guys. It's too much single stock risk, right? But anyway, so we really do like helping people. We really do. And I love punching holes in all the misconceptions out there. We should have named the class something like Confessions of a Wall Street Insider or something like that. Because there's so much marketing. It's like the thing I was telling you guys last week about the S&P 500 ETF, and everybody thinks that that's like the stalwart of the portfolio. And yet and the S&P 500 ETFs are market capitalization weighted, meaning when you buy it, you are automatically purchasing. You are loaded up. You are overweight the biggest stocks in the index. It's the way it works, right? The bigger the company, the more percentage of that ETF it's gonna consume, if you will. And yet we know that the even weighted, where you take the same stocks in the S&P 500, every stock gets a 0.2% allocation in the ETF, and we know that over the long run, that ETF makes about 2-2.5% more per year. Right? Common misconception. You go out there and tell everybody buy an S&P 500 ETF. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, of course. We know that. We've heard that, right? You don't hear that. So anyway, we're going to punch a hole in a lot of the different misconceptions out there and deliver some great value. So join us on November 16th at the Bellevue Hyatt, 10 a.m. And you can call into the show. We do have limited space, guys. We make these classes small on purpose just because You get 150 people in a room and it's just chaos. We've been a bit shocked by the response. It's come in a lot hotter in the first week that we've been running it than we expected. So usually we have space leading up to the last day. We don't this time. I don't think we're going to, not at this pace. So anyway, if you want to attend the seminar, again, there's going to be no arm twisting. There's no sale. It's like the show, guys. We're just going to run you through the process. You can go to the website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. You can call us, 866-779-RISK. You can email us. Go to the website and, you know, hit the contact us button. You know, there's 18 million different ways to get a hold of us. If you don't want to talk to us, like I said, you can email us. We should have the sign up page on the website by, I believe, Monday. So you can just sign up there. We'll get you squared away. So anyway, give us a call. Anyway, guys, with the rest of the market, that's the big news. We're breaking out, and regardless of what the underlying fundamentals are, you can't get in the way. Right. It is what it is. Pretty crazy. But what hasn't been in these last 10 years? Anyway, we're going to keep telling you, though, we got to keep our eyes on the prize, keep our eye on the ball. This is all multiple expansion. This market has gotten more expensive this year, not less. Economic fundamentals are still deteriorating. As a matter of fact, Jerry, I know you're a big economics nerd. Chicago PMI, the Purchasing Managers Index, right, which is basically a gauge of business that is coming in over the next quarter, it hit 43, which historically has been that is recessionary. If you go below 50, that is contraction. You go below 46, that's recessionary. It's at 43. Shockingly bad. And then you turn on CNBC and it's stocks hit fresh highs after strong October jobs data. Look, jobs data wasn't awful, but it wasn't good. Apparently strong is a very subjective term. You got 125,000 new jobs. Again, not a red light, but that is hardly an endorsement of stock prices where they're at. And I danced around this earlier talking about Brent Johnson from Santiago Capital. And one of the things that he and I were talking about 2 years ago, and I dusted over this, so you'll have to forgive me. But what we were talking about was how we weren't going to be surprised if this market continued to rally higher, even as we went into recession. And the reason for it is, A, the Fed is being reckless and completely short-sighted and treating the market as if it was a heroin addict and treating the heroin addict with more heroin and injecting that heroin and going, well, see, look, the shakes went away. This is good medicine. No, you're just keeping them addicted, okay? But what we were saying is that, A, the Fed is going to push it that way. And B, as things deteriorate around the globe, the United States is still the cleanest dirty shirt. If capital starts flooding into the country, right, this is where we get into stocks being, the valuation being perceived. If money is flowing into the country because of troubles abroad, stocks will go up. And they'll go up in the face of bad economic data for a little while. And I think that's what we're seeing. I wouldn't be surprised to see this market go on a breathtaking run, blow everybody away over the next 12 to 16 months, right? And frankly, I'm excited about it. Why? Because we're properly positioned. We're properly positioned. This doesn't have to be an all or nothing game, guys. Okay, we can lower your fees, we can lower your risk exposure and get you more upside potential in your portfolio. Properly risk managing your portfolio does not have to mean lower returns. And I'll tell you what's going to happen, because it happens every time. You get in one of these blow-off tops like I think is starting right now, and everybody gets euphoric and we're making money and everybody takes their eye off the ball, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, the carpet gets pulled out from underneath you. And then you look back over 8 months and you go, holy smokes, I just lost half my retirement. Why did I make that mistake? And what I'm telling you is, you don't have to. We can position you in a way to where, if that happens, if I'm right, if this is the beginning of a massive bull market run, great. We'll give you more upside. You'll make more money. But if it's not, when the music stops, you're going to be fine. It's called risk management, guys. And I get fired up about it because I see clients so poorly positioned all the time. I see clients doing the conservative thing, sitting in 50% bonds because they're being disciplined, because they're not buying into the hype, because they know markets are overvalued. And they're paying somebody 1.5% to sit 50% in bonds. Market goes up 20% and they make 6 or 7. There's a better way. We can cut those fees down by 70%. We can lower your downside risk between 50 to 70%, and you can make more money. It doesn't have to be this all or nothing game. You win either way. And it's not just me speaking my book. And quite honestly, the story I was telling you about Dory, if it was, Dory's a tough guy. He's a tough guy to convince. If it was me just speaking my book or me just, he wouldn't have endorsed us. He wouldn't have become a client. So educate yourselves. Get the free booklet. Go to the website, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the free class on November 16th. And I always love meeting listeners, too. So it's just fun. We'll talk some economics. We'll run you through our whole planning process. We'll show you exactly how we lower fees. There won't be any, well, to get that, you got to sign up for this meeting. We're not going to do that. Just like the booklet. You want it, we'll give it to you. So give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, email us in, tell us you want a spot on the for the class. All you got to do is give us a name and an email address, guys. Not going to run you through the ringer, but educate yourselves. Anyway, we got to run. We got a lot of great segments coming up. Stick with us. We'll be right back. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments are positioned for a successful retirement? Attend Bulwark Capital's free class, Risk in Retirement, hosted by Zach Abraham, November 16th in Bellevue. Zach, tell us all about it.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and have condensed it down into a one-hour class.
I like it.
We're going to answer all the big questions, like do you need estate planning? Do you need long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss but still grow their assets at the same time.
Don't miss Zach's class, Risk in Retirement, November 16th in Bellevue. Sign up at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll also get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Make your reservation now for November 16th at knowyourriskradio.com. knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm's licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor. Hey, it's Dory Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long-Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Saint, thank you so much for joining us. Gonna get right into it. And it's Jerry's running the show today. And he's reminding me to tell you about the class. I talked about it a lot in the market update. But yeah, I got a seminar coming up. Go through every aspect of our planning process. Same one we put Dory and his wife through. And condensed it down to a one-hour class. We're going to deal with investor misconceptions, how to take and when to take your Social Security, how to fireproof your assets and still grow them at the same time, how to lower your fees, the impact of fees, and how many fees you're really paying. We're going to go through it all, guys. How much money do you need at retirement? And it's only 1 hour. And the favorite part, I know for Jerry and I, the favorite part for us is that is Seahawks and Huskies bye weekend. You're going to be there, Jerry, with your kids. No, it's not really. But he wouldn't miss it. Anyway, want to get right into it. So blood corn, Unicorn Bloodbath. I came up with this idea last night. We had all of our employees over to the house and a couple of our family as well. And they brought their kids over. We live in a great trick-or-treating neighborhood. So we're like trick-or-treating central. Shout out to all the people in Cannerwood. The Wood, as we call it. But anyway... great neighborhood to trick or treat in. So we typically host a deal. Had all the employees, all their kids. House was packed. It was loud. It was a cacophony of sound. How do you like that for a $10 word? But anyway, two of the little girls were dressed up as unicorns. They had their little rainbow wings on the back and their horns sticking out. You know, and of course, my mind immediately goes to finance. And I asked the little girl, like, oh, are you wearing that in honor of WeWork? She's like 8. She looks at me just like, what are you talking about? And my wife's just like, oh, honey, stop. Everything is not about economics. But anyway, I thought, you know what? We got to talk about this. And then we're going to get into Tesla as well. Just good, funny, amusing things that I see going on in the markets. And not amusing if you're on the wrong side of it, obviously. But we talked last week about this WeWork disaster, and you know, my comment to investors and to our clients is, you know, heed the warning. Heed the warning. In the course of 8 weeks, WeWork, big real, they own leases and a bunch of property in downtown Seattle, and they're a leasing company. Essentially, what they do is they go sign long-term leases in buildings, and then they rent them out short-term. And somehow, they got the market to believe that they were a tech company. They called themselves that. And we just scratched our heads going, wait a second, this is just a, you know, lease long, rent out short type business, and all those businesses have always failed because problem is if that's your business model, who are you leasing out space to? Typically, you're leasing out space to the most economically sensitive businesses, small business. And it also happens to be the most volatile business. So in downturns, you get a disproportionately high rate of cancels or people breaking their leases. And there's been like 7 or 8 of these companies in the last 50 years. Every single one of them ends the same way. They go broke. Right? So WeWork's not going to be any different. Anyway, 8 weeks ago, this company and the lead investor, this is about four months ago, the lead investor had just invested $3.5 billion of hard capital. That brought them up to, I think they had a total of 10 or 11 billion invested in this company, SoftBank, a fund out of the Vision Fund, called the Blind Fund. there's a little tongue in cheek action there. But so they'd invested a total of about $10 or $11 billion into this company. 3 or 4 months ago, they put in their latest round of capital, $3.5 billion at a $47 billion valuation, and they're crowing, sticking their chests out because they'd hit a home run. Company's going to IPO, guys. This is 8 weeks ago. Okay, 2 months. Remember how in the opening segment we were talking about stock prices are perceptions of value? Over the course of 2 months, they literally lost it all. So. 2 months ago, SoftBank invested that last $3.5 billion about 4 months ago. They're going to IPO. They're going to launch. Right? WeWork's going public. You can buy the stock. 2 months ago, that was the plan anyway. Valuation got in the way. But Goldman Sachs had that stock priced at $60 to $80 billion. Not the stock. I think the stock price was 25 or 30. But anyway, the total, based on that stock price and the way they were selling it, it was valuing the company at $60 to $80 billion. SoftBank last week had to step in with a $7.5 billion bailout package, bought the whole thing for $7.5 billion, because if they didn't, as of today, the company would have been out of money. So without that funding that they got a week ago, as of today, SoftBank would have been bankrupt. They would have been insolvent. 2 months ago, valued at $60 to $80 billion. That really fits into that old adage we got, which is risk happens fast, guys. Overvaluation situations tend... Valuation situations. That is a tongue twister. Anyway, they work themselves out, and it's never in the favor of the investor. They'll always, the overvaluation situations, they will work themselves out. They'll take care of themselves, but it's always through pain. And I think that is just a great anecdote, a great example of what's going on in this market. Everybody's just buying stock, not paying attention to it. And we're benefiting from it. We've got a long position in our actively managed portfolio. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't know if it's suitable for you. Can't make any recommendations. I can read the disclosure right now. If you want recommendations, you have to contact us. You guys know it. But anyway, we own a position that's around microchip makers, right? We've got it protected. We're watching it carefully. But those positions just broke out to new all-time highs while revenue and profit for those same companies has plummeted. It's crazy. Crazy world we're living in. So anyway, so SoftBank just takes a complete bath in this stock. And listen, again, it's not a publicly traded company, so I don't feel any conflict of saying this, but it's a zero. The thing's going to zero. Why'd they put in $7.5 billion? The classic mistake people make, putting good money after bad. And there's a lot of stuff out there like that, guys. Right? Not Uber Eats, Grubhub, right? Food delivery service. Stock's down 45, 50% this week. Did the company's value really drop 50% this week? Of course not. Of course not. But that's the way this market is. This market's going to give these companies every benefit of the doubt. And then when they launch the inevitable, which, and I call it inevitable, what's their business? Their business is paying somebody to get in a car, which is burning gas, to go pick up a bag of food and deliver it to somebody for virtually no money. They're not exactly a high margin business, guys. Okay? So shocker, right? Competition picked up. And the quote that the CE made after the earnings call, again, talking about Grubhub being down 40% this week, almost 50% now. CEO said something that I thought was so insightful. And I actually thought he had a great conference call. Guy didn't duck it. Just said, hey, the market opportunities for our company are vanishing at a rate that we did not expect. What did he mean by that? A, he meant that economic activity was slowing down. B, he meant that competition was picking up. As competition picks up, prices drop. That's how people compete. And the margins have gone away. Okay, this is a foreshadowing of what we've been talking about. And we've been saying it about the Amazons and the Microsofts. And look, I know there's a lot of you out there that as long as the stock goes up, you're going to think I'm wrong. It's the same response I got from people in 2006, 2007, telling them that real estate was in a bad shape. It's just, you're just saying that just because you don't have 18 rentals that are leveraged to the hilt. I do. I'm smart. No, it's just valuation, guys. And we've been saying about all those companies that, the cloud business. Look, they're all in the same business. And they're all flooding the market with it. It's all becoming the number one revenue source. And guess what's happening? It's already happening. Amazon, AWS, still growing like crazy, but it is down 20. The growth rate has slowed by 20%. What are those companies going to do? Because they've invested all this money in these server farms and the cloud and all that kind of stuff. As the revenue slows down, as the competition becomes more fierce, they're going to drop their prices. Okay, it's called competition. That's what happens. As they drop their prices, their margin disappears, and all of a sudden you're sitting on a stock that's down 70%, asking yourself how it happened. How'd it happen? You weren't paying attention to the fundamentals. They matter. I can't tell you when they matter, but they will. They do every time. And every time everybody makes the same as, yeah, but it's going up. Okay. Okay. Anyway, guys, there's a better way to do it. There's a better way to do it that doesn't cost you upside. Okay, and we're going to talk about this in our class. It's not a sales pitch. It's real. If you want to lower your cost, if you want to increase your upside, and guys, listen to what I'm saying. If you want to lower your cost or increase your upside, everybody out there should say yes. And lower your risk. Do you want lower? Yes. Now, you may not want lower risk because you don't want to give up the upside, but I'm telling you, you don't have to. There's a better way to do it. And if you want to know about that, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Sign up for the class that we're doing in Bellevue, the Bellevue Hyde on November 16th. Or if you'd like to meet with us before, let us know. Schedule a portfolio review. The other thing that we're doing is we've got a new proprietary software. Can I say proprietary? We can't. There's certain words we can't. I don't think that's wrong. Anyway, a lot of doing this show is kind of like a dance routine. You gotta be careful about what we say. But anyway, new software that we put all of the investments a client has in their portfolio, and it uncovers all the hidden fees, all the inside fees of the funds they've got, tells them exactly what they're actually paying, shows them their returns against the S&P 500 or any other index. We can also model how that portfolio behaved during the great financial crisis. We can show them how it behaved during the dot-com bubble. We can show them how it behaved over the last 10 years. It's so insightful. It was we couldn't quit playing with it because I was like, this is amazing. Anyway, we do that for free. You meet with us, we'll even if you don't become a client, you could still meet with us. We'll run the portfolio analysis for you. So anyway, you can get a portfolio analysis, sign up for the class, get our free booklet, download the 16-page research paper by Dr. Roger Ibbotson, follow us on Twitter at @KYRRadio, sign up for our free newsletter, same one we send our clients once a week that's like the market update. Anyway, you guys know how to get hold of us. We got to run, but we'll be right back for the final segment. This is Know Your Risk Radio on Kate. On see that, Jared? I stepped on it, man. But anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments are positioned for a successful retirement? Attend Bulwark Capital's free class, Risk in Retirement, hosted by Zach Abraham, November 16th in Bellevue. Zach, tell us all about it.
Dory, we've taken our entire planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and have condensed it down into a one-hour class.
I like it.
We're going to answer all the big questions, like do you need estate planning? Do you need long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss but still grow their assets at the same time.
Don't miss Zach's class, Risk in Retirement, November 16th in Bellevue. Sign up at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll also get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Make your reservation now for November 16th at knowyourriskradio.com. knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm's licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor. Hey, it's Dory Monson with Brian Ott from 525 Advisors and host of Long Term Care Radio. And Brian, we have another great question from a listener. What happens if I don't use my long term care insurance?
You know, Dory, nobody likes to pay for something they don't use. In the past, if you never used your long-term care insurance, the premiums you paid were simply gone, just like homeowners or car insurance. But you know what? Things have changed. We now have new programs that will pay you back even if you don't use them for long-term care. You can find out about all the new programs, including ones that pay you back, at 525longtermcare.com. While you are there, you can send us your question and even sign up for a free class. And don't forget to join us every Saturday morning on Cairo for Long Term Care Radio.
Brian has a long-term care planning class coming up Saturday, November 16th. Seating is limited, so sign up today at 525longtermcare.com. Classes are free. You'll even get a copy of Brian's book, which has a ton of great info. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you so much for sticking with us and want to get right into it. So, interesting deal. And I feel if I seem a little more upbeat now, it's because we've got our resident millennial back at the helm. Darren, you are back. I love Jerry. Don't get me wrong. Jerry's my guy, but he's not the resident millennial. You know, that's only, there's not a lot of people that can fill those shoes.
Nope. You're exactly right, Zach.
Nail on the head, right?
Not the first time you'll be right today.
Oh, geez. See, now, this is, you got to watch him because sometimes he's going to feed you, you know, he's going to tell you you're better than you are. Anyway, so, hey, but wanted to get into it. So, and I forgot to, I left out one of our favorite stocks that's near and dear to all of our hearts, Tesla. It's my darling. Again, not a recommendation one way or the other, but I do think the thing's a dumpster fire. Is that too strong a word? Is that too strong a language there?
Nope, you're probably exactly right. Brilliant.
I see. I want you just to follow me around all day. Just, you know, just I throw something in the garbage. Well, Zach, what, that was a phenomenal
good toss. Yeah.
Yeah, good toss. Great. Look at the arm on that kid. Anyway, but with Tesla, seriously, if you've got any interest in finance and you haven't plugged into this one yet, you got to. Great. What was her name? Is it Lynette Lopez? If you want to see it, I think I retweeted it on my Twitter at KYR Radio. You guys, by the way, you can always follow us on Twitter. If you don't get enough of our takes on things in the most scintillating hour of finance radio, you can follow us on Twitter. You could get it daily. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, that's like signing up for a whipping. Anyway, though, I think her name is Lynette Lopez, if I remember correctly. She just did this great article. Tesla is being sued right now by a group of their shareholders regarding their purchase of SolarCity. Now, at the time, Tesla sold the purchase of having all these synergies, right? They got to buy SolarCity because, you know, it's electric, right? And it's electric cars. Interestingly enough, and I'm not really sure how this didn't get much more attention, but there may have been a bit of a conflict of interest. Again, I am being sarcastic on purpose, but Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, his cousin happened to be the CEO of SolarCity. More importantly, Elon Musk, along with SpaceX, his other company, and along with several of his family members, had lent a large amount of money in the hundreds of millions to SolarCity to prop it up because it wasn't profitable. They were burning cash. Reminds me of another company. Weird. It's kind of a Musk trait. A guy can burn capital like a barbecue. Anyway, so we got to buy SolarCity. There's synergies. This is part of the solar clean energy revolution, all that kind of stuff, okay? And at the time when they bought it, SolarCity was in trouble. And then we're like, oh, geez, they're going to bail them out. Then we saw the price they paid for SolarCity. They bought the company as if it was in great shape. They purchased it just like any other company would purchase, any other publicly traded company, meaning they paid a premium on the stock. They bought it as if it was a valuable asset. And it really didn't make any sense at the time. But everybody, again, with Elon Musk and Tesla in general, they suspended disbelief. Hey, we're going to trust Elon. He's the most brilliant guy in the world, right? Well, SolarCity continued to do poorly. And we haven't seen those synergies come online. And then so one of the beautiful things about a lawsuit is that information becomes public. So they've been going through Tesla's emails. They've been going through phone calls. They've been, you know, digging through all the stuff. It's been sequestered by the court. It's been subpoenaed and we get access to it. So at the time of the purchase, when they bought SolarCity, internal emails show that they were going back and forth, that Tesla was fully aware. And of course, but Tesla was fully aware of the company's funding problems. They realized they were down to something like 60 to 90 days of cash. They had to get bailed out. This had nothing to do with synergies. This had to do with Musk bailing his own investments out that they had made in SolarCity, bailing out the investments that other members of his family had done. And this was sort of like SoftBank that we talked about in the last segment, stepping in and throwing more money into WeWork because they already had so much invested. It was them protecting their investment. This had nothing to do with synergies. This is just Elon Musk running around, not having to adhere to any rules because he's above the law. Why? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Personally, it seems like the guy's got compromising pictures of congressmen or something. I've never seen anything like it. But all this is coming out in the court hearing. And the other funny thing that's coming out, which we told you guys at the time, was one of the things that they based this whole argument of synergies on, right? Were these solar roof tiles. And it was an incredible presentation. Must be, I think it was about 2 years ago. They come out with these shingles that look like normal, really nice comp shingles, but they were actually miniature solar panels so you could have solar on top of your roof and it just like looked like a really nice comp roofing product. Incredible, right? Well, it comes out now that when they did that announcement, it didn't work. It was in testing. It didn't work. They tried to make it work. They couldn't make it work. And they were talking about ramping up sales and rolling up sales. They got a guy on the stand in court and they, wait, you guys were talking about the sales. What kind of sales did you have? He's like, oh, I don't know. Not many. And the lawyer trying to pin him down. They get down to what the sales were. They were less than five. But he didn't know the exact number, so he claimed. I don't know about you, Darren, but if the if the amount of roofs you've installed is between the number of zero and five, I'd think you'd know what that number was, right? It's not like, was it 369 or 383? It's like three. Okay? This goes right into funding secured. 420. We're going to take Tesla private. Funding secured. There was no funding secured. He just did that to burn short sellers and ramp the market. And this gets right into what we were talking about Boeing, guys. I don't know what Boeing stock's going to do. I think it's worth substantially less than it currently is valued. That's no knock on the people at Boeing. I love the company. I love the people. But guys, sorry, there's bad people at the helm. There's just bad people at the helm that are putting profits ahead of the long-term health of that company and, unfortunately, ahead of the long-term health of people that fly on their planes. I don't think that every Boeing plane is bad. I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with the plane itself. What happened was that in the name of profit, rather than having sensors on both wings for that new system, that new software system, they chose to have one unless the purchaser would pay an upgrade cost to have two. Well, one of the managers at Boeing, one of the managers of maintenance for the West Coast, looked at me and he goes, Zach, it was the only part of the airplane that we've, you know, since the time I've worked there, it's the only thing we've ever done to an airplane that didn't have redundancy built into it. He said, we knew at the time. We're sitting there going, guys, why aren't you putting them on both wings? And management's answer was, well, they would get them on both wings if they pay the upgrade. And they go, well, yeah, but this doesn't have redundancy. What are we doing? This is the profits. So what happened? Bird hits the sensor on the Malaysian one that crashed, took it out. It wasn't a software glitch. Right? That was baked into the cake the day that plane left the tarmac for the first time with only one sensor on the wing. There was a vulnerability. Right? Gets back to our conversation about the pencil balancing on your finger. The gust of wind isn't why the pencil fell off. The pencil fell off because it was inherently unstable. Which is exactly why airplanes build in redundancy and triple redundancy for every single thing that they do. Except this. In the name of profits. And we just see this up and down the economy where you're just sitting there scratching your head going, what is this company doing? But anyway, my point is I didn't know that there was going to be a crash. I didn't want there to be a crash. But when you do the research and you're not blinded by the stock performance, you don't just buy into the narrative and you actually do the work and you look through the smoke, which is what we should all do with every investment. You don't take people's word for it. Right? You do the research. It's amazing to me how many, nobody out there, and you can't, for you got to get a mortgage, but nobody out there would buy a home without a home inspection. Yet people buy stocks left and right without doing the research. It's crazy to me. But anyway, we didn't know bad things were going to happen. But what I'm telling you is you see these themes come out over and over and over. Doesn't mean they're right every time, but they're right the vast majority of times. That if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, guess what? It's probably not a pig. It's just the way it is. And getting back to what we were saying about Boeing, do we hate Boeing? No, man, I love the people at Boeing. I got family that works there. I've got employees whose parents still work there. The people there are great. I think the product's still great. I just think you got some bad management taking the company down a very dangerous path that's not going to be good for it in the long term, period. And the issues there are coming out. They're going to keep coming out. But anyway, my point is it's the same thing with Tesla. I don't think that Tesla car is bad. That Model S is incredible. I think it's a gorgeous car. The performance is unbelievable. I think it's awesome. But I can't get blinded by the shiny thing out in front of me. We got to do the homework. We got to look behind the scenes. And when you look behind the scenes, it reeks. There's something untoward going on there. I don't know if it's out and out fraud. It smells that way to me. I don't know if it's, I mean, there are certainly accounting irregularities. But what I'm saying is don't suspend belief, disbelief, guys. Look through the smoke, see it for what it is, and ignore the price of the stock. Doesn't mean you're going to be right every time, but you're going to be right more often than you're wrong. And there's so many out there. We've talked about so many of them. where you just sit there and you go, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. That looks like all management cares about is jacking up the price of the stock at the long-term expense of the company. Then you dig into it and you go, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. For instance, we talked about it before, Palo Alto Networks, great company, great product. Doing about $2 billion a year in revenue, burning cash, not profitable. All of a sudden, $1 billion shows up on their balance sheet. And I'm like, why did they take out debt? Why would a high growth company that's burning capital, why would they take out debt? You know, a day later, they announce $1 billion stock buyback. A company that is burning cash, right? That's supposed to be this great growth story that's trading at 20 times or no, at the time they were at about times revenue, something like that. Some ridiculous nosebleed price that's just insane. And they're going $1 billion in debt to buy back the stock. How could that be good for the company? It's not. Guess how the CEO gets paid? In stock. They're just jacking up the price of the stock, guys. Keep your eye on the ball. And this goes right into our risk management process. Right? We don't get sucked in. We don't pivot back and forth with markets. We don't go from bullish to bearish and all, you know. You keep your eyes on the ball because you know, just like the truth, it eventually comes out. Same is true with value. Give it time. It's like Novocaine. Give it time and it works. You can't get impatient. You got to be patient, right? We got to stick with it. We got to keep our eyes on the ball. We can't walk into the carnival and get distracted by the bright lights. Keep your eyes on the prize. And this goes right into what I was saying about our risk management strategy. Right? We don't have to take these risks. We don't have to be standing there when the carpet gets yanked out from underneath us. We don't have to pay 2% in fee. I keep running into these accounts, $1 million accounts, over $1 million accounts. We do that portfolio analysis software on these accounts, and we're seeing people all the time paying 1.9 to 2% a year in total fees, and they got 40 to 50% bonds in the portfolio. You know what that is? That's a portfolio that is structurally inefficient and that cannot win. It's a matter of time. It's like paying $100 for 80. It doesn't make any sense. There's a better way to do it. We can lower your risk. We can drastically increase your upside potential. And we can typically cut your fees somewhere between 60 to 70%. It is a better way. And we're ahead of the curve on this, guys. Start talking about it in 2012. We're starting to see other people get it and start to pivot, but not fast enough. And when the inevitable happens, when this thing comes down, like I said, this is not what I say in the market update. Look, this market's breaking out. I'm not trying to incentivize you with fear at all. I think this market right now, it looks like we're going to go substantially higher. That's the way it looks. I'm just going to tell you the way I see it. But it also means we're one day closer to the inevitable because value will matter. And when it does, you're going to see a lot more stocks other than just Grubhub getting hit by 40% in a day. And I think that's happening. This rotation in value that we've been talking about a lot. You got a day like today, all the high flyers, Netflix, Shopify, all these, they're not up. I think the market is starting to get the memo. I think it's starting to pay attention. We're seeing this value and this rally in value coming. It's still continuing. And now's the time, guys. Now's the time. It's been the time, but now is really the time. Because the other thing is, if we're right and this market keeps ramping, remember what we're talking about? You're going to make more money. We're going to give you more upside. You're just going to do it much safer and much lower fees. And if you want to know about it, call, get our free booklet, sign up for the class that's coming up on November 16th, the Bellevue Hyatt. We go through our entire planning process. It's a bye week for the Hawks and the Dogs. It's 10 a.m. Bellevue Hyatt, going to have coffee, rolls, all that kind of stuff. It's going to be fun. We're going to do 1 hour, run you through our whole planning process, and then we're going to do Q&A at the end. We'll give you the free portfolio analysis from that piece of software or that new software program we've got. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK, again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the free class, get the free booklet. You guys know the drill. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend. Been great talking with you. As always, we'll see you again next week. And sign up for the free class, Bellevue Hyatt, November 16th. Email us, call us. Love to see you guys there. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.